I'll say it is good to be here this morning. We are blessed to be part of the family of God. That is an awesome thing to know that Jesus saves and that he keeps and that he is still in control. And we've had the opportunity this year to put him to the test, and he's always come through. And, you know, it'd be an awful thing if God failed us, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be something that I just can't imagine, to have a God that fails. We deal with a lot of people in this world that their God fails them every day. And if they'd find Jesus, they'd find somebody that would keep them in the hard times. He keeps us in the good times. He is always there, no matter what we're going through. I want to read a scripture out of Colossians chapter 3 this morning. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. You want to follow along? I never asked Brother Ziegler how long we have. Down there we start church at 10 o'clock and we get out about 2, sometime 2:30 or so. So I don't even ask anymore. You know, we get used to, you ever get in a rut? You know, you get used to doing things a certain way and it's just easier to keep on doing that. So if 2 o'clock comes and we're not out, you let me know, all right? You kind of start making some kind of motion, and because my wife is going to speak after I do. So what I'm going to try to do is tell the physical side of what we do down in Antigua and Dominica, and my wife is going to tell the spiritual side of what we do. And we do both of them together. She works right alongside of me, so we work at it together. But I'm going to try to explain some of the physical aspects of what we do down there, and then she's going to come, and she is much longer-winded than I am. Lord help you if she really gets cut loose. So you pray that. Let's look to the scripture. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, and long suffering. You remember that as we go through this. Forbearing one another, forgiving one another. If any man hath a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which ye also are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him. Let's bow our heads. We'll ask my wife if she would ask God's help. Amen. This scripture gives us somewhat of what we feel like our passion and call to these islands are. Teaching them, admonishing them, encouraging them. Dominica has 6 churches. 5 have pastors. One has not been in use for several years. But we have 5 active churches there that all have native pastors in it. And our job down there is to encourage and lift up the people, to help them to remember the ways of holiness, to remember that God saves and sanctifies and keeps and gives us victory each step of the way. It said, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to be which ye are called to one body, and be thankful. And it talks about putting on charity, putting on these things. And it is up to what we feel our responsibility is, teaching them how to put these into their life and keep them active. If we're not careful, we forget that we have some duties in our spiritual walk. You have a duty to encourage your own soul. You have a duty to get in and study the Word of God. And sometimes we forget our duties, don't we? You ever forget that that's your duty to keep your soul encouraged? We expect our pastor to come and encourage us and lift us up, and we come to church all down and we're needing some help. And sometimes we need that. But it's actually our responsibility to lift ourselves up, to come to Jesus and say, Lord, I'm down. I need help. And one of our goals down there is to encourage our people, to get them up and help them to stay up. And it says, forbearing one another, forgiving one another, and teach them how to forgive. Did you know forgiveness just isn't natural? It's not just natural for when my wife does something that I just say, oh, honey, that's okay. I forgive you. Now, what's natural is me saying, you know, and just try to bite her head off. Our native people down there have the same problem. All right? They want to give in to what's natural unless they're taught to do what's supernatural, what's God. And to teach them to forgive one another and to love one another and to help each other up. In the island of Dominica, we have the Carib Indian and we have the black people. And they are two totally different people. And teaching them to love one another has been one of our goals since we've been down there. And those that are truly born again and have been taught, they do. But there is a new generation coming on, and we haven't had missionaries down there all the time for a while. And it is our goal to teach them how to love each other. During this last year, we've been down there about 2.5 years. We went down as a pastor into Antigua. And about 6 months after we went there as a pastor, our tent was tore up by a hurricane. And we immediately began to try to do something. We began to build a pole barn style church, a small building that we could get into that would get us in out of the rain and the sun and the wind and stuff. And we built this a little pole barn style building, and we 2 weeks after, actually it was about 14 days, we had the church up. On the 18th day we had our first service in the building after our tent was tore up. And God has helped us so miraculously. The church there is growing. It's becoming, we went down with the goal to build a church. We went down with the goal to establish a church. And God is helping us to accomplish the things we feel like He sent us down there to do. And the last 5 Sundays we were there, 3 of them Sundays, we had people walk out because there was no place to come in and sit down. And there was standing room only in the church, and God has just blessed our church. It's growing. And so we're excited about that. We have we've rented a property down there for several years at the conference. The Pilgrim Conference has rented a property there for, I think, about 15 years where the tent was set, and they had purchased a property. But we built a church there on that property. Just before we came up here, we closed out the rental property where we'd been renting for the last 15 years. And we're going back. We're trying to build us a new home down there. We have the walls up, and we have the windows and doors in it. And we're trying to move. Our plan is to move into that building when we move back. It is in the process. So it's a work in process. I ask you to keep us in your prayers. This year we've put a new roof on the mission house down in Dominica. We've put a new roof on the garage down there. There's a building down there that's been built for several years. It's never been finished. And we've went in and finished the drywall and painted it and got it where they held conference in it this year. So that is a step in the right direction. We're trying to get things. It's just been in bad repair for several years. And so part of what we're doing is trying to bring the work down in Dominica. To get them spiritually encouraged. We've preached a camp meeting down there not this year, but the year before. And we're leaving here. We're going down to camp meeting in Dominica. And then we go back and forth between the two islands. And also we work some with Brother Gibson down in Haiti. We've been down there several times, and just about every year, other than this year so far, we've been down in Haiti for a little bit and worked down there and had helped out in the camp meetings there and worked with several different aspects of that. And we've got more to do than we can do. There is so much more that needs done than is possible for us to do. And without God's help, nothing is going to get accomplished. And with His help, there is nothing that can't be accomplished. I'd like to ask for prayer on a couple things. First of all, that God would send laborers into His field. I think that's scriptural. So the harvest is ready, but the laborers are few. There's so much to do. And pray that God would send more missionaries into the field. You know, it's such a need and such a heavy need. That's our number one, I believe, need down there for revival. That God will bring unity and revival amongst our churches. And we need that in Dominica, where we have the five churches. We need a revival. Unless God gives a revival, I don't know where the church is going to be in the future. But I know He is able. I know that's His desire. That is the will of God, that our people grow spiritually, that they get deeper grounded. Some of them are very grounded. Some of them are been Christians for many years. But there is a new generation coming along that needs to see revival. They need to see a mighty move of God. And unless we see that move of God, we're in trouble. It's not much different than it is here in the States. You know, my mind is often goes back to that scripture where there come up a generation that didn't know Joseph. Remember that? Now, I want to tell you something. There's coming up a generation that don't know holiness. They don't know what holiness really is. And it don't matter whether you're down in Antigua, Dominica, or Haiti, or the U.S. There's coming up a generation that we need to see a revival. We need to see a mighty move of God sweep across our people. And it is up to us. It's up to us. You know, for most of my life, I've looked to a generation above me to bring revival, to pray down revival. Well, friend, that's not the way it's going to happen. It's going to be you and I. It's going to be God's people. We need to quit looking to somebody else. And we need to find a place of prayer and pray until the fire falls. And that is our only hope for whether it be in missions or whether it be in our local homes. We'll ask my wife to come and give more of the spiritual end of what we do down there.
I think he deliberately was short-winded, so I would look long-winded. I'm not sure. Oh. Good morning. I was just thinking as I sat on your beautiful platform of the many different platforms and areas we've stood on around the world. He mentioned we go to Haiti. This year we're not going to Haiti, and I hope you do Haiti real well this year. I love Haiti. When I was a little girl, one of my desires was to speak in a black, not speak, but just participate in a black church service. And because they have soul, you know, the white people just kind of sit there, nod, and sometimes they smile at you, and, you know, but the black people, they have soul. And I always just found that very interesting, and I never dreamed that I would be ministering to black people. They say I'm black too, inside out. So I'm an Oreo cookie. I don't know. But I want to tell you this morning that Jesus is the same everywhere you go. People are different. They're different cultures, even in America. This is a different group of people than, you know, 2 hours away where we had our family raised up. And everybody is different, but Jesus is the same. And the message is still the same. Jesus still saves this morning. And I just want to thank him for that. I want to thank him that I had the privilege as a small child hearing the name of Jesus and knowing what it meant. I was 3 years old. It's going to tell my age a little bit. But I was 44 years ago. I prayed in a camp meeting and found Jesus as my personal Lord and Savior. And I knew what I was doing. You know, sometimes we think, well, they don't know what they're doing. Aren't they so cute? No, I knew that when I prayed and asked Jesus to forgive me of all my sins, however many they were at that age, that he came into my heart and he forgave me of my sins. And this morning, Mark 1:17 says, "And Jesus said unto them, Come ye after me, and I will make you become fishers of men." It's kind of a stage of growing there. Can you feel it this morning? He says, "Follow me, and I will make you become." And that's what we're doing. We're becoming fishers of men. There's people all over the world that need Jesus, whether it's at Walmart when you're shopping. The other day I was going through the teller checkout line, and there's a little girl, and she looked all grumpy and everything. I thought to myself, she's going through something. I said, "Are you having a bad day?" And she said, "Bad day? It's been a bad week." I said, "Well, if you don't mind, I'll pray for you." And she nearly came to tears and said, "Yes, could you do that?" You know, we need to share Jesus. And that's been my desire since I was 10 years old. I was raised in a Christian home. And at 10 years old, I prayed and asked Jesus what he wanted me to do. And he said, "I want you to be a missionary." And first thing out of our marriage, we went as young people down into Mexico. Didn't know a lot of Spanish and learned a lot through, books. I love to talk. So I wore out about 3 English-Spanish dictionaries, literally. They fell apart. Because I had to talk. Maurice, he's happy not to talk, but I got to talk. And we made it through 2.5 years there on the mission field in Mexico. Lots of life experiences. I wouldn't trade it for the world. And you know, they needed Jesus down there. Isn't that amazing? They needed Jesus. And it was a privilege to tell about Jesus. And before I go on, I want to say a big thank you for inviting us here. But more than that, I want to thank you all for the times that you have given to missions when we were in desperate need. And the times that you prayed for us and we found out about it. What a blessing to be a part of the family of God. Last year when we left camp meeting, we went back home for just a short time to be with our family. And we didn't know how God was going to work in our lives in this past year. He wanted to make himself appear strong. He wants to have the glory. Do you know that? He wants glorified. He wants to know that he's needed. He likes that, you know. And last year we left, I left before Maurice, and I went down to Haiti with a group and got to go into some villages. I want to say something else. Orphanages. I couldn't think of orphanages. And that was very interesting. We had taken a ferry across the waters and went into Loganoff, and it's rough there. I don't know if you've ever got to go there yet, but oh, it's amazing. The people there need Jesus, and it was wonderful to share with them and to touch their little faces and their little grubby hands, you know. And it was just a wonderful experience. And then we went on down to Dominica and took one of the girls from our team, and she was going to help with the young people there. But before we ever went home to Dominica, we had asked them to pray last year for unity among the churches. There's 5 churches, and like Brother Roll said, they're different. They're all different. Their cultures are different. There's some Kalinago people, which are Caribs, and they're fair-skinned, beautiful black hair. And then there's the black people. And the Caribs are like on one side of the island. We got two different churches there. And we got Pastor John, who's only about this big. And he's great. He sings like a robot. Amazing Grace. I thought it was a kid acting up in church the last camp meeting. I turned around to see who was acting up, and it was Brother John. He just grinned at me. And he's only about this big. And he's married to one of our former pastors, Sister Esprey, and she's a black lady. And they live just down the street from Glogome, where the camp meeting is. And Glogome is a large church, about twice the size as this. And it's our camp meeting place. And it has dorms underneath. And a little man, John, he is the pastor, and he looks like a kid. So you really look at him. He's black can be. And I asked Sister Hedda, I said, who's the pastor here? I said, right there he is. I said, that boy? She said, Sister Roll, he's not a boy. He's 50 years old. I said, no, he's not either. She said, Brother John, come here. So she came over there, and I said, good to meet you. I'm Sister Roll, and I'm going to be here for a while. And can I ask how old you are? Yes, I'm 50, I think 2 years old. I was like, man, whatever you're eating, just keep eating it. Because you look good. You look 20 years old, I tell you. And Pastor John is real quiet, really, really quiet. And pray for Pastor John, because his wife left him a few years back. And Pastor John, we're praying we'll get where he's more outgoing, is calling. It's hard for him to go calling on the women. And there's some other women that have started attending, and they're starting to take up where he can't go. It's awkward for a pastor who is single to go in and pass, you know, to go to hospital calls and this kind of thing. But pray for him. He has a big church, and the devil's fighting there. But in the last year, when we went back to camp meeting, I'm sorry to tell you, when we went back to camp meeting, you could tell that God had worked among the people. We had admonished them to take a day to fast and pray for unity. And when we got there, the Kalinagos and the black people, they were just mingling among them each other, and it just seemed like God was really working. And it really became evident when we had church, you know, and around the altar, you could see him working and praying with each other. It was a beautiful thing. One of the things that we did last year in camp, we had a morning prayer time, and the preachers came in and prayed, and the other people. But then in the afternoon, we had children's service. And while we was having children's services, we had counseling sessions. And then about 2 o'clock, in the counseling sessions, we also prayed for anything that was a stronghold or anything that was really troubling them. And there were some people that really got some help there. It was an interesting ministry time with us, and the people get to know them a little personal. And then we had a session where we taught them how to use their Bible, spiritual warfare. How to look through their scriptures and find promises of God to stand on. And it was really interesting how hungry they were for the gospel and how to use the gospel. It's one thing to know you have a tool, but to how to use that tool effectively. And that was fun to deliver that. Me and Brother Roll tag-teamed and taught some sessions last year. In the night service, Brother Dave Ellis was our speaker last year. And God came in a wonderful way. I remember one service we had complete, whole front was just lined with seekers. And a lot of them were ministers, a lot of our ministers. You know, it's just like it is here. God helps, but the devil fights. And so we had ministers just all over the place. And I was singing, It Is Well With My Soul. And after I got done singing, I came down off the platform. I love to work the altar. And over here to my left, I thought was a young man that I had got to know from the previous year. And I thought it was him, and I'd really been carrying a burden for him. And I just went down to him, and he had his head down, and I just took his head and just popped it up. And I said, "Oh," and I popped it back down. It wasn't who I thought it was. He had the same frame. I think they're related. After I embarrassed myself to tears, I found out they were related, and that's why they looked like each other. But I said, "Oh, brother, I am so sorry." But that young man did pray later in a revival this spring, March, I think it was. He had prayed, or February, I think is right. But he had prayed, and I got the privilege of praying with him. But God is so good and so faithful. In each of the churches, we're seeing God really work. And it's just amazing how when we take time out to do something that we didn't do yesterday. Did you hear what I said? When we take time out to do something we didn't do yesterday, we need to get, as a people, a little bit of more passion. You know, do a little bit extra praying, a little extra reading, a little extra fasting. And when we do that, God moves and people and souls are saved. And we're seeing in each of the churches how God is working. Every church is different. Glogome's big, and there's a few little ones that gather up at the front. And we have a really loud lady, louder than me even. I mean, she just gets up and just sings and bellows out songs and praises God, and it's beautiful. And she's a new person, a new pawn in the play. And she is really making a difference. She's out soul winning. And then we have Warner Church's brother Eric Baptist. And he's kind of a quiet man who is also ministering by himself. His wife is still in the home, but she's not a Christian. And a lot of people's never seen her. And that's one of my goals. I've got to see this lady. I'm going to see what her deal is and tell her I'm praying for her. You help me pray for her. She needs to be behind her man. But Brother Eric Baptist, he's kind of a quiet man. He plays the guitar, and when he plays that guitar, I think he's in another world. He don't play the guitar like we do here. It's like, round, 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 round. I'm like, "Oh, Brother Eric, you pray for his guitar playing." It's different. But Brother Eric has probably 50 people that are faithful, and they are some precious people there in Warner. And so we got Glogome and Warner, and then we have Brother Bruno's church, who now is the field chairman. And Brother Bruno's a loud black man. He's very outspoken, very strong, and he is now our field representative. And it's exciting. I'm excited that he's in charge because he's a visionary person. He has vision. He has, you know, a zeal about him. He's going to get souls saved, and he's a soul winner. And I'm excited about him being our field representative. And so Brother Bruno, he pastors Good Hope. And in this past year, a year ago, when the Headens were leaving the field, we had about 14 days that we got to spend with the Headens, and we went with them over to Good Hope Church, Brother Bruner's church. And the front of it, some of you seen it, the front of it was just black with mildew or something. And the inside, and it's not a very big church. It's probably to the front pew, to the back of the wall there. And it was just black and dingy. Well, they painted it green, the loudest green you could imagine on the inside. And they painted it orange as an orange on the outside. It was something, but it looked better, so it was all good. So Brother Bruno's got that completely packed out. I don't know what he's going to do because he's right on the street. I mean, his last step is on the street. And then right behind his back wall, it goes completely up in the air. It's just a mountain. And his bathroom's up there. He needs a different bathroom. Sister Roll don't like it there because of the bathroom way up there. So that is Good Hope. Okay, so we got Good Hope, Warner, and Glogome. And then we have the Kalinago work. They call it Kalinago because the cannibals in the history of the Carib history, there was a little sentence that said that maybe they were cannibals. They weren't sure. But so some of the young people came along and said, you know what, we're going to change that name to Kalinagos. So to be politically correct, they're now Kalinagos. But they're still Indian people and dark hair, and they live very primitive. And they're basket weavers, and they do beautiful work. They make all kinds of stuff, and that's their main income. And they work in the field some, but they weave with their hands. And so that's Brother John's church. What's his last name? Latik John is John, and Latik John, and that's the one that's real small. He's really tiny, and we got to have a funeral for one of his elders. I think he helped with Brother Halstead to start the work, Brother Dewey, and he was a man of God. But for about 10 years, he'd laid in just a comatose state, and his wife had took care of him. And this past year, we got to go to his funeral by the sea. Oh, it was so beautiful. I mean, just almost right at the edge of the ocean. And it was just amazing, beautiful. It gave new meaning to "Now We Gather at the River." It was a beautiful song and singing and an exit to Brother Dewey. He was a beautiful man of God who loved people. And our last church is up in the mountains too with the Kalinagos, and his name is, you guys are making me nervous. What's Brother John's name? It's another John. Our field chairman. No. I'm thinking of the field chairman, previous field chairman. Lockhart. Jacob Lockhart. He's a real tiny person too, really thin. I think he's probably 100 pounds soaking wet. I'm not sure if he's even that heavy. He is a tiny person, a really tiny person. And his wife is a beautiful lady. And Sister Lockhart this past year has been fighting breast cancer, and she is winning the battle, but it's been tough. And they have a little congregation, probably of 15, little bitty church up on the side of a mountain. And then they're also down on the other side. You can see them both sides and see the ocean out in the distance. Each of our congregations are different, and almost a different culture altogether. And it's a real challenge to help the men that have pastored for 20 years. Most of them have pastored for 20 years to go in there and help them to come up just a little higher, you know, oversee them and help them to soul win, whatever it may be that they need. Me and Pastor feel like we're underaged, you know, and under wisdom and unqualified to do something of that nature. But God has put us there, and we want to do our best. Do you ever just want to do your best? I hope so. But you can't give your best unless you're filled up. You can't give anything unless your cup is full. And that's been a prayer of mine, that God would help us to be full. We left camp meeting and went home to Antigua. I say home because before we got the job of going back and forth to the islands, we got comfortable in Antigua and got some roots down and knew the people well. And they call us Mom and Dad. And I got more children than I actually started out with. They all call me Mom and Dad, and they range from ages 2 to 42. And it's just wonderful being a mom to so many people. And I've learned one lesson, though. Make sure whose head you're tilting up, though. You know. Oh, Brother Warrington loves me, though. It's all good. But we went back to home, and we was there and kind of settling in. And pretty soon, we caught news of a hurricane coming. So, of course, we're checking our phones and checking. And Erica was moving in, and it was huge. And we seen it just 10 miles from the island of Antigua. And we thought, oh boy, it's going to hit us dead on. And Antigua is really dry. It's very beautiful, 365 beaches. The beaches are so amazing. They're so beautiful. But the land is so dry. And we thought, well, maybe they'll give us some rain. Erica will give us some rain. And so didn't give us a drop hardly. But it just, in 1 or 6 or 7 hours, I think there's like 36 inches of rain. 32 inches of rain hit Dominica. Now, I don't know if you understand what that is. It's a lot of rain. And it just hit Dominica with a force, and some of our people were in really bad shape. Our little John, Latique John, is that right? And Sister Esprey lived right down the street from Glogome Church, and the road to their house was just wiped out, like it was gone. And so to get to their house, now, mind you, they're 65 and older. So I'm just going to say that. 65 and older, and they had to climb up a muddy slope, kind of like a mountain, and then go back down a slope, and then go some distance just to their house in their elderly years. And Brother John will take out early in the morning, go up that ridge, come back down, and take off to the mountain church way over in the Kalinago section. And it's amazing the dedication this man has had over 20 years of service. But here this road is just completely out. We have people in the mountains, all their field just wiped out in just a couple hours. Fortunately, none of our church people had a large amount of deaths in their family, but a lot of loss of land, a lot of loss of fields. Everything that they own is the field. So we felt so heavy. And here we was. We knew flights were canceled. You couldn't fly. We knew that only if we was important, they would let us go on a ferry. And we prayed that we could get a seat. And God worked it out that we got a seat on a ferry. And I rode one time before on a ferry boat and to Loganoff. And so I thought, I've got this. When I started out, you know, it started getting bumpy and rough. And I had a little black boy over here, and I seen him turn white, and he's going like this. And I was like, oh, dear Lord. I got to help him keep it together. And so he was getting really sick, and he laid his head down, and I put my hand on the other side of that table. I said, you lean on there and just, you know, be still. He got so sick. Oh, my. Well, we were so excited, though. By the time we get over there, I think that's the excitement kept me from being sick. I don't know. God kept me from being sick. But we reached over there, and because people gave over here, because you gave, and other churches gave, we were able to go into Roseau. Now, Roseau is the only town in Dominica. And we was able to go into Roseau and buy supplies. We bought sugar. We bought flour. We bought all kinds of stuff, staples, macaroni, some fish, dried fish. You guys wouldn't like it. But dried fish. And all this other stuff that they like. I don't like it. there's things I'm working on it. I don't like the fish in Haiti either. Ooh, oh, my. I'm so glad God doesn't we're not qualified if we like fish or not for being a missionary, because that wouldn't make it. Anyway, we made it over there, and I had a couple boys come to the house, and we sat and we divided, and Brother Roll helped, and we made up, I think, 36 or 46. There was quite a number of boxes that we put in together. And we called some of the ministers, and they hopped in our truck, and we took off into the mountains. And what a joy to hand those people a box from you guys and from us and put it in their hands. And you know what they did? They said, well, there's three of this, and they took it out and they put it aside. There's two of this, and they took one out and put it aside. They divided up their own box for their large family and decided that they could, you know, share and give to other families. And so the boxes that we gave, whatever we gave, ended up being times three. So God multiplied it. It was beautiful. And up in the Kalinago area, there's a Sunday school, or Sunday school teacher, no, song leader lady. And she is the most precious lady. And her reaction probably was the most moving out of all of them. And she has, on her own, volunteered to go in and help the elderly. She bathes them and she medicates them. She does all this stuff. She does hospice care, and she never had formal training for it. It's really awesome. And she's just precious. Well, she had to be fetched, and so here she comes down the road. And she's just smiling from ear to ear, and we had a box for her. And when she came, she just had tears just rolling down her face, and she said, "Oh, dear," she said, "I'm so happy." She said, "I know that you brought it," she said, "but Papa sent it." And said, "I was just praying this morning, Papa, I've been feeding my babies green bananas for 2 weeks. Could you please just send somebody with some food?" And, you know, it was worth every struggle, every hard thing that we had to go through. Brother Roll was over there selling computers and everything he could get his hands on in Antigua so we could make the trip. You guys were sacrificing and giving so we could make the trip. And, you know, all those efforts in that just one handout was just worth it all. All the struggles, all the things that it took to get there was worth it all when we reached out. You know, when we get to heaven, if we're faithful to do what God asks us to do, you know, I love that song, "Thank You for Giving to the Lord." There's going to be people that you think you're no significant person in God's plan. You are. And the things that you do, if you're faithful, they add up. And I'm just so thankful today for that he's keeping record. If we keep record, it's not nothing. But God is keeping the record. So then we were able to give because you gave in the storm of Erica. Back in Antigua, we're trying to condition Brother Seraphim for the ministry. He was called about 3 years ago, but for 12 or 14 years, he has kept the work in Antigua going. It had a little tent. Brother Roll talked about a little tent. It was right beside our house there that we rented. And I think the Ziegler's got to go down there, and they talk about that. They say, well, they want you to come back. So, all of you. So, you too. And they talk about the family coming down there. But the little tent was right there, and the people loved that tent because they could just walk down the street and go right to church. And then it sang out to the community. It was nice. It was beautiful until it rained. And then it leaked. Yeah. So we have a picture of a lady. She was sitting in church, and she had her umbrella. Plop, plop, plop. Here it was raining on her umbrella. But God has blessed us so much. And Brother Ashton, he had gotten sick. Actually, when we got down to Antigua, he wasn't there. He was still in the hospital, and then shortly afterwards he came. But Brother Seraphim, John Seraphim, we don't call him that. We call him Brother Ashton. That's his nickname. And Brother Ashton, he was over there in Guadalupe. He'd gotten sick, and he had to go to Guadalupe. And while he was there, God put it on his heart that he was called to preach. Well, he never dreamed that he would be put at home, at his home church, at the little tent or at the church on the hill. He never thought that Golden Grove New Extension was going to be his commission. But when we're up here, Brother John fills in. And he has for 12, 14 years filled in. And he is now going to be the pastor there. And so we are the senior pastor. And when we come home, he wants to step aside and say, "Ah, oh, Brother and Sister Roll, you're the pastor. You're the pastor." And not do the work. But we're conditioning him and trying to mentor him, encourage him, and Sister Caddy, being the Sunday school teacher and the pastor's wife and all these things. there's many things, many hats that you wear as a missionary and a pastor's wife and ministry, period. And God helps us. Remember the scripture said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And there's so much to learn, and we will not have arrived until we reach heaven. But pray for us as we try to win souls and at the same time teach our 6 ministers, 5 in Dominica and 1 in Antigua, how to be soul winners, how to use their scripture effectively, how to be ministers of the gospel in the community and in the church. And all these things are the things that we're trying to deliver to our people there in the Caribbean. Pray for us. As I close, I want to leave you with a song. I sang it at camp. I hope that some of you will learn it so that you can sing it in your devotional time. His grace and mercy brought us through. I'm living this moment because of you. I just want to thank you and praise you too. Your grace and mercy has brought us through. Brother Roe, help us. Your grace and mercy brought me through. I'm living this moment because of you. To say thank you for praying for my daughter. It just come to me that maybe some of you knew about my daughter. We had to be sent home, or we came home. We had been teaching our men in Dominica to come up to ordination, get their license, and me and Brother Roll was tag teaming when we got the news that my daughter was in critical condition, and some of you prayed. And God has miraculously touched her. I just want to praise the Lord this morning. There's no signs of the ARDS. She got the ARDS. She was a month away from delivering a baby. She was 8 months along. And she went in because of pneumonia. And they said, well, we're going to keep you overnight. And it went from that state to we're going to do emergency C-section to you have ARDS. Or actually, she was unconscious whenever we got the note that she has ARDS, and if you want to see your daughter, you better come quickly. And so we made our way home, and because of people's money and because of their prayers, we have a beautiful daughter and granddaughter today. And I just want to thank everybody that prayed. There's no sign of any damage either on either one. And we just praise the Lord and give God all the glory. It could have been a different story. And I know that God would have helped us. I know that he would have took us through. And I just tell you, some of you guys have already heard my testimony about that. But when God revealed it to Pastor, he said, it'll be okay. And then we got the news that she had the ARDS. And you know, we don't know what okay is with God. But he told him it would be okay. And then we got the news that she got ARDS. And I said, well, Mama's got to pray and fast. I got to pray and fast. And so I prayed and fast. And somewhere around 6:30 that night before we got to go, God's prayers, or God's people's prayers, poured out on me. And I couldn't be talked out of that she wasn't going to be okay. I knew everything was going to be okay. And I just want to thank you for your prayers. I would be so ungrateful if I didn't say thank you. And I appreciate all your prayers, all your givings. And please come and visit us. The people love white people. They really do. And you give white people a good impression when you come down, because some of them, they see a lot of boat people, you know, and that's not the kind of impression we want to leave on them. They need to see some good holiness people come down and see God is the same with everyone. And if you get the chance, come on a work team or come just to visit. We'll love you in so many ways that you'll have to come back again. And so, God, we need your prayers. We covet your prayers, and we love all of you. Thank you so much.